Oil prices fell again today. They're below $30 a barrel, and the International Energy Agency predicts the price of oil will continue to fall. In a few minutes, we're going to look at how the low price of oil is affecting real estate in oil-rich Houston. But first, to the growth of renewable energy in Vermont. In 2014, that state generated more than 25% of its electricity from renewable energy resources, and it hopes to get that number up to 75% by the year 2032. But as industrial-sized wind turbines and solar farms proliferate, some Vermonters are objecting to these green energy projects. John Kalish has our story.
In the town of Rutland, local officials are battling a plan to put several thousand solar panels in a vacant field. Residents say it doesn't fit in with the rural nature of the area. Don Chaffee is a member of the town's board of selectmen. He used a term I had never heard before, viewscape.
The idea of a viewscape being important to the value of the land is just as important as the concept of agriculture. Dairy cows, sugaring in the state of Vermont is part of what we are. That's what we've built ourselves as over a century.
The town of Rutland has a case pending against the proposed solar installation in the Vermont Supreme Court. A decision is expected early this year. Some 50 Vermont towns support Rutland's resolution calling for more local say in the siting of energy projects.
This is top-down planning, and you've never done that in this state. You've always prided yourself in bottom-up planning from the local people.
If you allow a local veto, frankly, I think zero will happen in the state of Vermont on anything.
That's David Blittersdorf, one of the leading renewable energy entrepreneurs in Vermont.
Permitting is now taking twice as long than it did 2 years ago. There's opposition from local people over aesthetics and over, frankly, a lot of made-up things. And then there's some state government agencies that are slowing us down. And delays cost you money.
Blittersdorf started a company that manufactures wind measuring equipment used before wind power projects are erected. He now runs All Earth Renewables, which manufactures a solar tracker that follows the sun and makes solar panels more efficient.
We're in a period of dramatic change. You're seeing in Vermont an explosion of solar taking off. We're just getting started. We have probably 100 times more solar to do.
And more wind too, say renewable energy advocates. A proposal by Blittersdorf to erect a pair of 500-foot-tall wind turbines on his land in the Northeast Kingdom triggered angry opposition in the small town of Irisburg, whose residents can already see industrial wind turbines on a mountain in the neighboring town of Lowell. The people of Irisburg voted overwhelmingly against Blittersdorf's wind project, despite the fact that it would lower their electric rates. The project is currently on hold.
I would prefer that they relocate the two proposed wind towers and put them right on top of Killington Peak, where the ski resort is.
Irisburg resident Howard Mosier has written several novels about life in the hard, scrapple, but scenic Northeast Kingdom of Vermont.
A great deal has changed in the Northeast Kingdom over the last half century, and the landscape and its integrity are about all that's left.
For those who are inclined to dismiss the critics of renewable energy projects as oblivious to the urgency of climate change, Kevin McGrath would appear to have been sent by Central Casting. His home borders the wind farm in Lowell. McGrath drives a Hummer with license plates that say no wind.
When I'm hiking up there on my own, and I'm seeing these beautiful forest lands that are on my property, and then you have to put up with a whoosh, 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 or it sounds like a 747 flying overhead that never lands. It does take away some of the enjoyment that you once knew.
Vermont, for some reason, is desperate to clean up an energy sector that is very clean. And that's expensive.
Chris Brathwaite is a retired newspaper man who has covered energy developments in Vermont for 40 years.
Trying to clean up Vermont's energy is a very sensible and ethical thing to do. Focusing the way the state does on electricity is nuts. It's crazy. It makes no sense.
Peter Antos Ketchum is the executive director of Energize Vermont, a group that is spearheading an energy rebellion to preserve what it calls the irreplaceable character of Vermont.
We need to be improving public transportation, our bicycle infrastructure for getting people around, weatherization of homes, local biomass. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different ways we could be addressing some of our largest carbon emitters rather than large electrical generation facilities that are just dumping into the regional grid.
Farmers have become allies in renewable energy development in Vermont. They have plenty of land but often struggle to make a profit. According to a solar developer at the company Green Lantern, farmers can make more leasing their land for solar panels than they can growing corn, hay, or alfalfa. Bruce Nelson is a seventh-generation Vermont dairy farmer in Reigate who is devoting 4 acres to a solar array.
Our family's business has been harvesting sunlight through our animals, through our dairy cows, for 200 years. We're turning sunlight into a product that people can use and enjoy. Solar generation is just harvesting sunlight. So I kind of think that fits into our business model.
Nelson sat down at his kitchen table with 3 neighbors whose land abuts the field he will devote to solar panels, and they were basically okay with it. Federal tax subsidies for solar installations have been extended through the end of 2019, so the pace of solar projects is likely to accelerate in the coming years. 2 industrial wind generation projects pending in northern and southern Vermont are facing stiff opposition. For Here and Now, I'm John Kalish.